And Richard Stafford, the Secretary of Soroa, joins us online. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Gary.
Mate, how's your week been?
Yeah, not too bad. Been a bit busier than some. I'm actually getting a little bit of work happening again in this really strange environment we live in.
Yeah, indeed. It's that's a positive. I think certainly so. I'm seeing a lot of LinkedIn updates of people that are finishing up after 15, 20, 30 years at various companies that I've worked over the years, which is very sad to see that that's happening. So positive to see that there's some other roles coming up, which no doubt will happen.
Yeah, which for sure. We could see a bit of a shift in what people do for work going forwards, but there's all sorts of unknowns coming out of this whole situation.
No, absolutely. Now, we're just talking about the two Soboas races and the great result with those last week, with being SA bred, SA owned, SA trained, so no doubt some of our owners had a good result there. Calypso Rain is part of the Grand Syndicates team, if I'm right.
Yes, it is.
That's right,
so plenty of owners would have won there, and I know there's a number of South Australian people in that as well from an ownership perspective. And then Super Striker, which is owned by Harry Perks and a number of his, so great to see them getting a result, and no doubt he would have registered a lot of horses for that scheme over the years.
Yeah, I'm sure he has, and had some pretty reasonable successes over the time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've talked about this. It's very hard for you to manage events and having your days and your functions that you do so well, but no doubt a lot of the owners are still enjoying their racing and getting together.
Oh, look, we hope so. We feel it won't be terribly long before we're able to hold some events, but it does, of course, depend on things in other states and how they pan out.
Yeah, spot on. I think, Victoria, they'll have their challenges, but here it seems like we will get our opportunity, and no doubt the race clubs and I know that certainly SAJC trying to get their functions back, and I'll be going to dining there next week, and no doubt we'll have a little space between each other, but it'll be lovely to sit at the races.
Yeah, I mean, certainly from the point of view of the rest of the country, things are starting to open up again, and gradually, and I think gradually is the wisest way to do it. The situation in Victoria is a little bit unique and probably due to a stuff up, I guess you have to say.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, did we have a good week from a Soroa perspective? Were you tweeting and getting out a lot of messages about winners?
Not a lot this week, but after Saturday, I mean, like, obviously Super Striker was one for us, and the other thing, the Super Striker, of course, one of the first wins for Jessie since she's come to South Australia.
Yeah, she's done it. She's done excellent. I think she's going to. Well, she's more than hit the ground running, but I think it's going to be a wonderful result for her.
Oh, look, I think so. I mean, we've obviously got a bit of a gap in our apprentice area at the moment for experienced apprentices. We Kayla can't claim anymore. Anna Yuso's finishing up. Dylan Kvosh hasn't got long left, so there's a potential gap. And Jess is a more than capable rider.
Yeah, she's done a very, very good job. Now tell me, Handsome Return winning the Port Augusta Squatters Cup. Was that last week?
No, yeah. It was the Port Augusta Cup.
It was sorry, yep.
The big one.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I believe it's the first cup for a couple of your very closely connected Soroa owners and committee.
Yeah, that's correct. Ali, our vice president, is a part owner in Handsome Return, and her other half, John, of course, is back on the SAJC committee. So
great to see
movers and shakers within our area, and it's great to see them get a cup win. They unfortunately were over on Kangaroo Island, so I didn't get to see it live. But yeah, it was a great result for them.
Richard, you want to give us an update on Aussie Bob?
Yeah, look. When Brian Littley was on talking about Aussie Bob injuring himself at the St. Pat's meeting and taking a fair bit of rehab, the story went on, unfortunately. When he got back to Brian's property, he managed to stick his foot through a fence and damaged his leg again. That was going along okay until it got a catastrophic infection, and it was one of those flesh-eating staph infections, so it was pretty ugly, and Brian had actually sought it out for a vet to come and euthanise Aussie, but fortunately the vet was unable to come for a day or two, and they got onto some herbal naturalist, naturopathic type of treatment,
yeah.
And honey and all sorts of things like that, and Aussie Bob's making a recovery. So
that's great.
I wonder where you're going with that. I was a bit concerned. Like, hang on, don't tell me we've lost Aussie Bob.
We had all the welfare people all lining up and ringing. The phones are going ballistic, yeah. But Aussie Bob's healthy and heading in the right direction. That's amazing.
Heading in the right direction, and it's great to see. And it just shows the amount of effort that people will put in when their horses are hurt.
Spot on.
You know, people seem to think that we don't care, and as soon as we can get them the flick, we do. But that's just not the reality for most people in our industry.
No, and it's funny you say that about the honey. Manuka honey has been a remedy in many, many people's stables for a long time for all kinds of injuries, but it's amazing the healing benefits that it has.
It's a remedy on my toast every morning,
yeah.
I know that.
So. Yeah, honey, man. Really?
I love it.
It's a bit of a messy treatment, but, you know, the results speak for themselves, I guess.
Richard, speaking of messy treatment, this will interest you. My grandfather used to train gallopers in Perth just after or during the war and after the war. And he had this thing, and you know how horses have soft hooves and frogs, etc. Anybody who came on the property, he used to get them to urinate in a bucket, and he used to paint the hooves, under the hoof with urine, with human urine, and it was an amazing thing. I mean, you know, I remember he had a horse, and I can't remember its name, Sands Fleet. Yeah, Sands Fleet,
yeah.
Which you know was an open class horse in Perth. But his frog used to pull away every time he got a shoe put on or you scraped it. And he used this remedy of human urine, and the horse ran second in the railway stakes.
There is a more comfortable way, more tasteful way of doing that. The main component of the urine that's working there is urea.
Yes.
And urea is available for treatment in lots of creams and things.
The
company I work for made a very successful urea cream for many years, and that's the basis of the treatment. And urea is very good. It has a double effect. It moisturises, but it also sort of exfoliates. So it's quite a useful treatment.
Incredible. Yeah, no, it was fascinating. Of course, back in those days, there probably wasn't the products that there are these days.
Absolutely not.
You know, with the used to feed them oats and chaff and hay, and that was about it. There were no such things as pellets or broodmare pellets and foaling pellets and racing pellets and inside out for your intestinal and all, everything else. Anyway,
it's a very interesting search term. Google might want one of the human urine remedy, and it is. It's called urine therapy. So you blokes are absolutely. I thought you were literally taking the thing out of me.
Not at all. That's a fact. My grandfather. Nobody could walk on the property without male or female. It didn't matter, but anyway, such is life. That'll leave it there, Richard. Good to speak to you, and have a great week.
Okay, thanks. Great, guys.
Take care.